Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. I believe that every single person listening to this podcast have felt inadequate, different, not belonging, an outsider, other words that are synonyms to the ones I just listed. I think that everyone has felt somewhat like that in that point in their lives. And I feel sometimes we think that feeling a certain way is not valid. And why should I be crying about losing diamond earrings in the ocean when someone else is truly suffering more? Now, I think that might be a weird example, but it's totally true. Why should I be upset about having allergies when there are other people who are going through worse? This ideology about comparing your feelings and your circumstances to other people's feelings and their circumstances is completely corrupt. Whatever you're feeling is valid, and I feel like sometimes we forget that. If you're a parent with a child who has food allergies listening to this right now, to be totally blunt with you, it sucks. It honestly does. Like, having food allergies and having a child with food allergies, it sucks because you feel like you can't be in control 100% of the time. And parents who are grown adults know that their feelings are valid. You know, you might feel regretful. You might feel like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. And that's valid. And most adults know that. But sometimes it takes a while to remember that. And it's okay to let what you're feeling out, you know, even though you want to keep it all together for your children. So you're probably listening to this and thinking, like, what does this even have to do with tips and advice about food allergies? What does this have to do with a podcast about me having less panic and more peace? Like, quite frankly, you're giving me more anxiety. Well, I apologize if I am. And it has everything to do with food allergies, except it's not the physical tips and advice that you've been hearing over and over and over on your social media platforms, right? It's not about the physical way we deal with allergies, but the mental way. Like, I think that the mentality it takes to acquire such a difficult allergy is so significant. Like, every single parent or adult I've spoken to has been wiring their brain subconsciously to think that having allergies will be okay. Like, even though you have allergies and even though it may feel like the end of the world right now, parents and adults sometimes mostly know that everything will be okay at the end, even though they might have some doubts like, oh my gosh, like, am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? They know deep down that it'll be okay. And even if it doesn't seem like it now, it will be. And most adults know that. But do you know who doesn't have that wiring inside their brains to think that their allergies don't have to stop them from living their life? Kids, children. With experience comes acceptance. That's my belief. And I believe that we should focus more on the next generation of kids who have food allergies and don't really know why they do. When they're young, they think just to avoid the food and, you know, food that they can't eat, and their parents are mostly in charge of it, all of, you know, what they can and what they cannot eat. But as they get older, around the ages of 5 to 10, they start really thinking about food allergies and how it affects them socially, mentally, and physically. Bullies might be waving an egg cupcake in a child's face, you know, with an egg allergy, and they would be shocked and coming home to their mom or dad crying. I even heard a story in high school about a girl who was allergic to peanut butter. Some kids in a class thought it was funny to rub the peanut butter all over the desk, then before she sits down, wipe it all off and leave the particles of the peanut butter lingering around on the desk, so when she sits down, she gets an allergic reaction. And that actually happened. Like, I know you may feel like, wait, this seems so false when you think about it, but it's like, there's no way a child would be so cruel enough to cause a life or death situation. It is way. Like, there is a way. Like, it's actually insane how cruel, or not even cruel, I feel like it's just more the fact that they don't understand how deadly the situation can be. They think it's just funny and they think it's just cool, and they do whatever it takes to act a certain way in front of their friends. But I've heard so many stories of this actually happening, these types of things actually happening, and it's actually quite sad. But my main point is that kids don't understand why they have to be different than everybody else. It's a mental battle, right? So that's when I had the idea. That's when the light bulb above my head striked. Why not create a book, a short story, a children's book on empowerment? Empowering kids to feel like their food allergies does not have to weaken them, but strengthen their ability to achieve anything with allergies without it stopping them. And I've always had this love for Marvel and DC movies, right? Most people probably watch these movies in the theaters, you know, with popcorn, maybe throw on some 3D glasses if you don't get dizzy from them, and you watch for about 2.5 hours, right? But the feeling after these movies, are unmatched. Maybe it's just me, or maybe I just never had an original thought in my life. But when I walk out of those movie theater doors and, you know, smell the scent of popcorn, you feel like you're in a Marvel or DC movie. It's true. Like, you just feel like it. And it's all the action, and you feel empowered. You feel invincible. You can literally feel like you're Spider-Man walking on walls, shooting webs. You feel like you're Wonder Woman. So powerful, right? And think about that feeling right now. I know it might seem really weird, but think about that feeling. Go ahead. Like, think about that feeling of acquiring a sense of power. It's amazing, right? Like, I wanted to give that feeling to children with food allergies. Food allergies are like kryptonite, for example, right? The weakness in the story. But instead of keeping that as a weakness, it can be turned into a strength. And that's what the book is about. A 9-year-old girl with an egg allergy who deals with the hardship of going through elementary school, being bullied. She realizes that everyone else is going through something, whether she knows it or not. And that's when it hit her. Food allergies are her something. She can take something negative and turn it into good by also making it safe. And it makes other people, other kids, relate to Hazel's story and say, hey, wait, I have allergies too. That's kind of cool that she has something that I have. And even though she thought it was a bad thing in the beginning, she turned it into not such a bad thing, right? Like, even she's still being safe, she's still not eating that allergen, but she's doing so much more with that. And everybody else is going through something, right? There may be one thing that you can't eat, but there are 100 other things that you can do. So it's a really big empowerment takeaway. And it's called The Hidden Hero. And I'm so excited for you all to read the book. The book is out now, and the link to buy it on Amazon is in the bio. It's only $10, $10.99, $11. And I really hope that it can empower some kids out there. That's my primary ambition, is to empower people and make them feel like they just watched a Marvel movie. Link is in the bio, and I hope you all read it and let me know what you think. All right, guys. So today we have a special guest, co-author of this book, The Hidden Hero. It's coming out so soon. It's coming out this week. And actually, by the time you're listening to this, it will be out now. So buy a copy. The link is in the bio. But I really wanted to just take a moment to introduce my co-author, Rhea Jane. She has the same name as me. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm Rhea. I'm a rising sophomore in Chicago. And yeah, I'm super excited for this book and everything that comes. So definitely check it out. I'm excited to talk about it.
It's been 10 months in the making of this. I think we started in, I want to say, like, this November of 2020. Right? Like, I feel like it took such a long time, but it's been such a fun, really difficult experience at the same time. Like, just having a book is so insane, especially at our age. So what do you think about that? Like, should we start off by telling everybody how we met? What do you think?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of kind of a crazy story, not too crazy, but what a coincidence. So the other Rhea was actually interviewing my mom, Dr. Ruchi Gupta, for her podcast. And my mom, I was just upstairs probably working on some homework. And she called me and she was like, there's a girl about your age. Her name is Rhea. You should come meet her. She's super cool. She's filming me for this podcast. And I was like, okay, I'll come downstairs, say hi. So I came downstairs. We exchanged numbers, Instagrams. And yeah, from there, it was just, we talked about writing a book together and it just kind of came from there. So that's how we met.
Yeah. I mean, I was speaking to Dr. Gupta. It was a really great episode. I just remember after we finished, I saw you and kind of introduced to each other, but we haven't really had the idea to write a book. It was kind of just like, hey, how are you? Wow. We have the same name. And we kind of bonded over that in a way. And then we started to, and then I actually reached out to you, I think. And it's like, hey, I have an idea. And you're like, oh yeah, what? Like, I was like, oh, since you wrote a book, I'm not sure if you guys know, but she wrote The Class That Can with JJ Villalopez. And they wrote a previous book. And I was like, oh, let me see if she wants to write a book with me since this is my first one. And so, yeah. And I kind of had the idea of like making it into like a superhero theme, power, empowerment of children with food allergies. And I guess that's just, that just came together, right?
Yeah, it all just came together. And I remember I loved the idea. And at first we kind of wanted to make it more of like a mental health type side of food allergies, because my books are more on teaching kids. Like, I mean, my first book, The Class That Can Food Allergies, is more what are food allergies, how to help your friend, right? But this one is more empowerment side of food allergies, and teaching kids that your food allergy like isn't just who you are and you can be a superhero too.
Yeah, it's like not even only about physical, but mental. Like the mental mindset and the mentality of having food allergies is so significantly difficult, right? Like you have to really put on a face of like, it's going to be okay. Like I shouldn't be stressed out. I shouldn't have anxiety. I shouldn't have panic, right? But there always is the side of like, you know what? It's okay if you do have panic, and it's okay if you don't like your food allergies at this moment, because everybody's going through something. And that's exactly what Hazel Harris, the main character, really kind of displays and where a lot of people can relate to. But yeah. So speaking of Hazel Harris, I feel like when we wrote the book, this is kind of coming to my mind right now, but it took such a long time to create the names of the characters.
Oh yeah. It was such a big process of it. We've probably gone through 10 or so names. We had lists and lists of names that we liked, and it was almost like naming a baby. Like it took forever.
Seriously. It was like, I don't know if we should do Hazel. Does this sound more too much like Hazelnut? Like, I don't know. So it was definitely a fun, weird process of figuring out the names of the characters. We changed it a bunch of times. But I feel like this is very fitting. Hazel Harris, very fitting to the character.
I agree.
But yeah, so the process of the book, I want to talk about a few questions that I received from family, friends, other people in the food allergy community. I kind of spoken to them about the book and the idea, and they all had a bunch of questions. So I guess we can kind of go in and answer these questions I have written down. One of the main questions I got asked what problems will this book solve? You know, from like, for children, what is the problem? And what is the resolution from reading this book?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Question. I can take a stab at it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think that this book really doesn't just speak to kids who have food allergies. It speaks to everyone, because, I mean, again, a message at the end is that everyone is going through something. You're never alone. Even if you don't see it, everyone has a reason for what they're doing. Let's say someone's bullying you. There's got to be an intention behind that. There's got to be something going on. There's always something below the surface that you don't see with everyone. There's a backpack that everyone's carrying that you can't see. So I think even with the food allergy side of it, I think the problem that it'll solve is kind of the stigma of, oh, like, why do I have food allergies? It's not fair. No one else understands. That's like such a, like, which, I mean, is something that I think many kids with food allergies go through their mind or face birthday parties or anywhere they go. But I think this book will show kids, like, that they're not alone.
Yeah. And I like how you said they have a backpack whenever they like a hidden backpack. They also have a hidden cape. They also have that hidden red cape. They are a hidden hero inside, right? Like not only do they have baggage, but they also have like invincibility, you know, strength, power, right? So I think that's a huge message that is displayed throughout the book, which is so cool. So yeah, I really like your answer. That was good. How long did it take to write the book?
All right, to write the book. Well, like we said, the whole process was around 10 months. Mm-hmm. But in the process of writing it, I think Rhea made a beautiful outline. And from there we went from making the script, just like the first draft, and then just chipping and chipping, finding everything we don't like, going through it again and again until, it was as perfect as we wanted it to be. So I think in the process of writing it, creating the outline, that must have been around that 2 or 3 months at least, or 4 months or so. And the rest is just, you know, finalizing publishing, figuring out all those little details, illustrating took a while. But yeah.
Yeah. I want to say one thing, like when the first time we actually had a meeting about the book, I remember I was talking to you like, oh, hey, like you already wrote a book. That's so cool. Like, that's so interesting. How long did it take you? And you said like, oh yeah, like only a few months, right? And I was like, okay, awesome. So we'll be done in a few months. And like, little did we know it was going to actually take a lot longer, but I feel like the longer it took, the more passionate I was, at least for me, like I'm sure you were too, like more passionate you were to like share it out, like share it to the world and really give them the sense of like what the book is about. Also, one of the main questions was, what was the hardest part? And I think for me, I think the process was obviously, you said, like the outline, right? And then we had multiple meetings about the script. And I think script took the longest out of everything, especially actually the illustrations took very long time. Like after we created the script, we had to get Joe, who is an amazing editor. He edited the entire script. It was like about 24 pages, I want to say. And we deleted parts, we added parts, and it was like probably, as you said, it probably took about 2 to 3 months. And then after about that March, around March time, it was the illustration portion of it, right? So that, honestly, I thought it was going to take so easy. It would be like, boom, 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 done. But we actually hired Daria, who's an amazing illustrator from Russia, off of a website called Upwork. And I remember me going like late at night, I would just be like sketching every single page of the book and really wanting to, because we had a vision, right? Rhea, like we had a vision of what the book would look like. And so I would just be like sketching every single part of every single detail. And then I'll be sending it to her and then she'd bring me back like the actual illustration. And I would be like, oh, wait, I actually don't like this part. This doesn't really look the way I wanted to. This is not matching our vision. So I'd send it back and it would be like it'd probably be like about 5 to 6 revisions for one page. And one page would probably take a week. So from March to the end of probably, I want to say like July, it's just been illustrations, illustrations, illustrations. So for me, that was the hardest part. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think just like the script is what I say for almost every book. I think that's the most tedious part. While it is fun, it is sad to delete stuff, of course, because you wrote stuff. You never want to delete anything, right? But it's a big part of the process to creating a book that doesn't drag on, you know? So I think just like figuring out, okay, what page do we delete? How do we make this more concise? Going through it again and again, and you can't just sit there and go through it for, you know, 8 hours and revise it, because, you know, you might have to sleep on it and then you think about something, you read it again, you see something new, right? So just all that chipping away is, I think, the hardest part.
Yeah, and the way you said it's like sad when you take away that page that you worked so hard on and you think about it, and you're like, wait, I'm really attached to this part of the story. And you're just like, sorry, it's not going to be part of the story anymore. And it's quite frankly kind of sad, honestly. Like, I know I remember my dad has been such a huge help like throughout this whole process, and I'm sure like your mom too, about like kind of helping you out with stuff. And my dad has been a huge help. Like every single time I would like ask him a question, he would just answer it. so easily. And he already wrote like 3 books. So he kind of has experience doing that. And so I remember just like him looking through the script and like editing it, and he'd be like erasing this. Like, what is this? What is this? And I would be like just there, just like trying to hold back tears. Like, I don't want this. So like, I don't want you to edit this part. I really like it. It's like a baby, honestly. It's like a baby that's created out of thin air, which is so crazy to me. So yeah, any last words you would like to say to the audience before we end the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, check out the book, share with your friends, family. It really addresses everyone. So we just want to get it out there, make sure you check it out. And thank you to Rhea for this amazing podcast. And yeah, glad you guys enjoy it.
Thank you so much, Rhea, and talk to you later.
All right, always.
Hey guys, so kind of a little fun intermission to the podcast episode. I have a very special guest, and it's going to be super interesting because this guest was on the podcast before, and he received a lot of hits, so we're going to bring him back again. This is I think that kind of going back to the idea of the book and how important it is to share this message, I think that social proof is the number one thing that many people really like. You know, having social proof is so important, so it's significant because that makes you understand why people like the book and how it actually changes people. So I'm bringing in a 6-year-old boy who read the book, and he's my brother. His name is Xavian Miglani. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
That's great. That's great. So I want to ask you a few questions about the book. So you've read the book, right? How many times probably?
2 times?
I feel like you kind of knew what the book was about from the beginning, right? I kind of told you about it, and then I read the script to you without the illustrations too, right? So do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So I want to ask you a few questions. So what was your favorite part about the book, Xavian?
My favorite part is when, like, Hazel got rid of her food. Used her kryptonite. Like, instead of her weakness, she became stronger.
Yeah, that was actually a great answer. It's like she used her weakness into making it a strength.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that part?
I love that part.
So, what character do you relate to the most?
Jason.
Why is that? It's because he's a boy with allergies?
No, it's just he's allergic to nuts, and so am I.
Oh, and also, what else do you relate to with him? He plays sports, right?
Oh, he plays sports, yeah.
A little overachiever?
Yeah.
So how does this character make you feel? Does it make you feel like you can actually relate to them in a way?
Yeah, I think I could actually, like, use my weakness and to strength.
You really think that you can do that? How can you do that?
Oh. I hope so.
You hope so? When you finished the book, what was the message that you received? I know you said, like, the weakness into strength, but was there anything else that you said, you know what? How does that make you feel when you finish the book?
Like, strong, powerful.
Strong and powerful. Awesome. So do you have any other, like, things to say about the book?
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was really good, and I was, like, surprised that she turned her weakness into strength.
Oh, why were you surprised?
Cause, like, I don't think anyone could do that except her. Like, the book was surprising.
The book was surprising. Well, I think that you can do that. I think that, remember at the last page, it says you have great power within yourself.
Yeah.
And I think Hazel symbolizes you, symbolizes another girl. Symbolizes another boy with food allergies. Yeah, but it symbolizes you as a person, like a child with food allergies, right?
Yeah.
And so you came out and said, wow, you do feel powerful. You feel empowered, right?
Yeah.
That's the goal.
And the book was very good. I hope you guys read it. It's really, really good.
Aw, thanks, Xavian. All right. Thank you guys for tuning in to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every other week. And I will have the link of the book in the bio. So please go buy it. It's so empowering. And this is social proof to say so. Thank you so much. Peace out.
Peace out. Bye.